Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for the show is "It's power in numbers," and the positive change purchase of Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the effects of higher energy costs at our historic Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impact of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black talk radio shows such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSHBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you're listening to that initiative right now over the World Wide Web, over platform of Blog Talk Radio. We're streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and Link. Also, this show is brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar. So if you want to get more information about that organization, you can go to BLACKINSOLAR.org. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, today's date is August 11th. And we are combating something called climate change. The temperature in our nation's capital today, where I'm broadcasting from, with the heat index, is expected to be at 105 degrees. Tomorrow, we expect with the heat index to be 110 degrees. So without question, we know that climate change is real. We also know that Congress is now in the process of dealing with infrastructure, but it's called the GOP infrastructure bill. And if you want to know what GOP stands for, it stands for gas and oil and petroleum, the reconciliation bill, which the House has indicated they're going to stand firm, the Democrats, about working to get the climate legislation and the things that the country needs to try to combat human infrastructure and combat the need for more emphasis to be placed on renewables. And I'm blessed today, and this is a historic show, because we have today Mr. Mike Civilini glad I'm pronouncing that name correct, Mike, because I don't want to change your parents' last name. Please, I'm not going to do that. And we have, who is the one of the co-founders of Energia, which is an exciting, exciting firm which has put together a new model in offering opportunities for the general public to be able to invest in solar projects that are taking place around the world. And we're going to bring Mike on, but first I want to also bring our own other guest on. This is Felicia Davis, who is the director of the HBCU Green Fund. So without further ado, good morning, Mike. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning. Glad to be with you, Ron. And always glad to be with my partner, Mike.
Good morning, Mike. Mike, if you press 1 on your phone pad, you will be able to speak to us, because if you don't do that, then you'll be in our green room, and we want to bring you right on into the living room so you can be a part of this conversation. So please press 1 on your phone so you'll be able to speak to our listening audience.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, we can. I can hear you loud and clear. Well, welcome to the airways to both of you. Mrs. Davis and Mike, I'm going to let the ladies lead off first. Mrs. Davis, would you please sort of share with our listening audience a little of your background and a little about the HBCU Green Fund, and then we're going to bring on Mike. You're going to come right on in and jump in and share with our listening audience who and what is Energia and what y'all are doing there. So go right ahead, Felicia.
So I've been working on climate change or global warming since the year 2000. I'm basically a social justice advocate, and back in 2000, I determined that climate change was the greatest threat impacting humanity globally, with definite ties, implications, and kind of at the base of all other issues that I was concerned about. So when it comes to equity or poverty or access to resources, et cetera, et cetera. So for about a decade, I worked within the UN space trying to advance global and domestic climate policy. And then about 10 years in, I determined that for the Black community, I had an opportunity to make what I would call a quantum leap, and that we could over some of the bad decisions and really jump to the front of the line in terms of renewable energy, sustainability, energy efficiency. And I thought the best way for that to happen would be for historically Black colleges and universities to really embrace the future and the 21st century. So from that point, we went through, I guess, the Obama administration, the sequester, the one challenge after another in terms of allocating resources. And then fast forward to today, when we are, in the midst of a global pandemic, some of which everything is connected to climate. So some of us will notice that when we went in our homes and stopped driving around, that when we came out, the nature was flourishing. We saw animals we hadn't seen in some time, et cetera. And at the same time, we're looking at how do we reconfigure to go forward in a more sustainable way. So, I am also going to mention that with the George Floyd kind of racial justice reckoning, there's also a greater awareness of the need to be very holistic. And so in this, I look for a partner that would enable us to actually bring renewable energy, specifically solar opportunities, to historically black colleges. And that is how we ended up creating this wonderful partnership with Energia.
Okay. Well, with that being said, Energia connects investors to premium renewable energy projects in order to accelerate renewable development in selected global markets. Why don't you step right in, give us a little bit about your background, Mike, and this wonderful business model that y'all developed with Energia and what you're doing. Go right ahead.
Absolutely. So thanks for having me, Ronald, and great speaking with you, Felicia, as usual. What's happening here is a combination of new technology and new infrastructure. The resulting effect is going to be a massive shift of capital. This is a multi-trillion dollar program. Whether the government passes legislation or not, we're going to see trillions of dollars move towards renewable energy over the next few years. It's a massive undertaking, and it's a worldwide undertaking. And it's very important that we get this right, because there will be winners and losers of this thing, just like any major trend. And it's important that we leverage technology and modernity of thinking and new relationships in order to make sure that this is an inclusive process, and that everyone can participate, not only because that's the right thing to do, but also because climate change is going to require everyone. Everyone around the world is going to need to agree on this and huddle around and figure out how to get this job done. So when we looked at how to possibly encourage broader participation in climate change, we noticed that it's a relatively complex asset class. Solar projects are not very simple, and that causes a barrier of entry for many would-be investors. Right now, traditionally, professional investors like the Goldman Sachs of the world are the types of investors we see engaging this asset class, and that's great, but it's not enough. And how are we going to enable more broader participation, more inclusive participation in this incredible opportunity, as well as a threat that climate change has presented us? And one of the ways that we think that this is going to work best is to enable ordinary investors, or retail investors, as we refer them to, and that's any investor with $100 to put towards a long-term strategy for themselves financially. To be able to allow them to access renewable energy projects simply without routing it through Wall Street, where, you know, most of the returns kind of go missing, and without, you know, a mutual fund type of typical structure. And now with the way the Internet of Things has started affecting investing, you've seen it with Coinbase, we've seen it with Robinhood. There are technical advances that are allowing lower barriers to entry for folks to engage new asset classes. So there was one missing, though, for renewable energy. And Energia has created a bridge between these renewable energy projects and those ordinary investors, something similar to Coinbase, which made a bridge from investors' currency in order to simplify the process and lower the barrier to entry and get more people involved in what's going on here. And I think it happens on two ends. On one hand, we just went through how we're going to encourage more mass participation on the investing side. And then the other thing is making sure that we're engaging a diverse group of businesses and individuals on who uses solar energy and who benefits from its cost reductions. And that's why we've created portfolios in Brazil, in Africa, in the U.S., and now with the historically black colleges and universities, to make sure that not only can anyone invest in this stuff, but the benefits of cost reduction can be enjoyed by anyone. And that's when we're going to get the best results from this massive economic change that's happening in our society?
Well, Mike, you know, as I do this show, I'm bringing people on from all over the world. I've just recently had a very brilliant young African gentleman by the name John Karinga, who's out of Kenya. He put a new concept through this firm, Melon Solar, where they've come up with this smart box, where they're using the basic, what we would call renewable energy credits or green credits. And I like to make things plain for my listening audience here on this platform. They're known as SRACs, which are traded on the commodities market every day. And people of the African American community, we are just not educated around the issue of how these credits are even collected. By looking at the, for example, someone puts a PV system on their roof, and if you're living in what we call a deregulated market, which the DMV market area is blessed to be one, and we have renewable portfolio standard legislation that means a certain percentage of energy generated in those market demographics must come from a renewable source, whether it be wind, water, hydrogenetics, or believe it or not, nuclear power is even considered a renewable energy, even though we know they've got to use the petroleum for the oil to power the nuclear rods, fuel rods, which powers these nuclear plants. But in that being said, when we began to look at the sun hits the panels, it's direct from the sun, DC. It has to be converted to AC. So it goes down a electrical harness into a converter box in the person's home. And we have something called smart meters in the U.S. where the local utility can tell how much energy is being generated, how much being used by that household, and if there's any energy over and above what is being used by that home, it's looked at in terms of kilowatts. And for our listening audience, it takes 1,000 watts to make 1 kilowatt hour. And these are traded, and they're called SRACs. Now, as we look at that kind of energy, when it comes to the average household and you look at the average roof size of a home, unless you're living in a mansion or something, you're not going to have that much additional energy that the local utility can purchase back from their rate players. And you'll find yourself in the situation that exists in our nation's capital where Pepco end up having to write a check for $15 million for the fiscal year 2017 because of the shortfall of DC-based solar. And in 2018, and that was at what we would call a 50% renewable portfolio standard. In 2018, it jumped to 26.1 million dollars. Now, these fees back onto the ratepayers on their utilities in the form of something called pass-throughs, and when people get their electric bills and they see these fees, they have no idea what they are paying for, but they know if they don't pay the bill, somebody's going to flip a switch down at the utility company, and they'll be in the dark. Everything starts with energy. Everything ends with energy. So in the education process, this is a pocketbook issue. This is not, when people say, well, why? This is not, who's your customer or why would they purchase this? you don't really have that luxury when it comes to energy. You either pay your utility bill or the local utility company will cut out the lights. Now, what y'all are providing with at Energia is so exciting to me is because, as you said, it provides Joe Blow everyday person who may not be that well educated in the area, but you have a very exciting website that explains how this works. And I want you to sort of talk about some of the issues that you may see that exist in public policy as relates to regulated markets and how it affects those projects that you might be interested in working with an African-American developer, but if we can't identify an off-taker that will buy that energy, then that project can't get off the ground. So I know that your team is very, 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 very well-versed in doing the necessary preliminary analysis and feasibility studies, but how do you go about determining how you're going to go about what projects you want to break down, and if you could sort of break down how this impacts on what you do.
Well, Ron, can I just jump in to say that one unique feature for Energia is not only, and I'm sure Mike will share their extensive background and capability and knowledge of solar. However, their keen focus as a financing entity, so that enables the rest of the ecosystem to function and flourish. So if you're an installer, if you're a black solar company, if you produce solar panels. But what has been challenging in terms of democratizing the investment opportunity for HBCU Green Fund, we were interested in ownership and investment. Often we are perceived as the consumer. So put a solar panel on your roof, do solar, whatever. But the only benefit we might get is reducing our costs. That's not the same as benefiting from the investment itself or from ownership. So I just want to interject that Energia comes, and we expect to be not only a first, but a dominant player in the investment space, which by democratizing the opportunity to invest and bringing that to all communities, particularly those that have been unaware of or marginalized when it comes to that opportunity.
Okay, well.
Yeah, we need to get the word out there that that this stuff is available to anyone. And we've made the barrier to entry as low as we can at $100 so that people can participate at a meaningful level for themselves. But people need to think long-term about their finance, and they need to make investment decisions with their money, whether that's a retirement plan or if it's cash in their pocket that they're going to use to buy an investment like a stock or a bond or a cryptocurrency or a piece of real estate. Well, we are suggesting that people consider renewable energy as a part of their thinking on a long-term basis. Because when you put even small amounts of money to work in a solar power asset over a long period of time, and you compound the returns on that investment, it can have a tremendous financial impact on families. And to make this more accessible is our objective. But it's only as good as our ability to encourage people to participate in it. We've built the tool so that there's really no excuse to say that, you know, the world didn't have a chance to fix this problem. You know, the tool is there. But now we need to summon people to activate that tool, both on the investment side and the project side, in order to put it to use so that we're not sitting here waiting around for a government policy, and we're not waiting for someone to give us permission to take care of climate change. We're just ready to take care of it ourselves, and the tool allows anybody to start putting capital to work towards climate change technologies and make a great return on investment while they're doing it. So that's really, it's about getting the tool out there, and opportunities like this are what we're trying to do to let people know that they can log in, create an account, and invest in renewable energy. And also, I'm sure some of your listeners are on solar project companies. And to the extent that they're seeking financing for their projects so that they can create profit for their business and provide savings for their customers, we hope that they would contact Energia, because we're looking for projects to invest in and then to share those investments.
And Mike, would you just mention your Africa portfolio? Because I know that Ron has a large audience that is a particularly African-American audience with some unique love for Africa or connection to. And I know, so lifting up those projects and opportunities would be really good, I think, for the audience.
Sure. So when you come to Energia, you can select the type of investments you'd like to make. You can select projects in Africa or projects in Brazil or projects in the U.S. The goal of the product is that you mix those together so you get a diversified portfolio of solar projects, and you can do that at very small levels of investment. So we're trying to create diversification as an investment, but also diversification so that solar can be most impactful with your investment. And Africa is a continent that is poised for incredible amounts of renewable energy growth. Over there, there is a lot of grid connections, although, something in the neighborhood of 30% of Africa is not connected to the grid. But even those that are connected to the grid, the power is so inconsistent that they can't rely on their electricity to be there when they flip the switch on every time, because there's not enough power on the grid to actually service those users. Oftentimes, customers in Africa will get diesel generators to backstop the grid availability so they have more consistent access to power. And now, solar plus batteries is cheaper than diesel generators. So we are in the process, and we are supporting developers in Africa who are installing solar projects, who are essentially competing against diesel generators, to suggest that if grid volatility is a problem for you, consider solar and batteries as a cheaper alternative to buying a diesel generator. There is no fuel cost, and even the costs up front are very similar. And we're seeing that happen really rapidly. We've done about 16 projects or so in Rwanda that were very successful, both for the users of the energy as well as the investors who participated. We just opened up a new product that has projects in South Africa and Zimbabwe. And we are harnessing capital from investors who want to see more of this stuff and who want to place their capital into projects that are going to grow their capital but also have that impact in Africa. And then by doing so, we can provide capital to developers in Africa to make these projects come alive. And when you put in more solar on any building or ground-mounted system in Africa, you're really improving the grid in at large, because there's just more available kilowatt hours to go around. And you will be helping your neighbors, and you will be making sure that there's more generation available. So it's a really important task, and we expect it to happen at tremendous pace over the next few years. Already we're seeing a huge influx of solar power development projects in Africa, and we're really happy to be part of it and to allow our investors to participate in that.
Well, I understand, Mike, that the issue that exists on the continent, and I'm working with several organizations, the Foundation for Democracy in Africa, which is headed by a very close friend of mine, Fred Olodende, who was a Howard University graduate, your alma mater, Davis. He's an MBA, and he has an organization for the last 30 years that has put on all AFRICOM, which is a annual, this year will be their 22nd year of their a conference. It's held in Miami in October of this year, and we're working on some things around that, and I will definitely pass your information on to Fred. Maybe it'll be an opportunity for you to speak to some of the trade ministers, because he works with all 54 trade ministers for African nations, and he's been doing an excellent job at that for over 30 years. With that being said, one of the things that I'm focused on is we can talk about the lack of energy, as we say, food deserts in the African American community as we look domestically here in the U.S. But when we begin to look at solar industry, it only has about 3% market penetration in the total market share of energy in the U.S. Now, I understand who the real gunslingers are on Capitol Hill. They're called lobbyists. And they carry a lot of weight because they spend a lot of money. And they just don't spend that money here in Washington. They spend that money in the state houses in all 50 states. And they've been doing this. But we got something called Mother Nature. And Mother Nature has a tendency to shift everybody and get everybody's attention with the wildfires that's taking place out in the West right now in Australia and the different places around the globe, as well as floods and everything else that we're dealing with. As Sister Davis elegantly spoke about what we are facing, that is real. Now, my pet peeve is that when we began to look at our southern states where the bulk of our African American population is basically living in their younger population, is that we have little or no policy in place to help a lot of our local cities. For example, the city of Jackson, Mississippi, which is the capital of the state of Mississippi, doesn't have an energy park. They have no renewable portfolio standard legislation. Our vice president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, Mr. Will Shirley of Sundial Solar, is based there. He's the only African-American solar installation design and development company in the whole state. We often go back and forth over some of the same issues concerning things that I understand that Energia is a finance entity. But those policies are lack of policies, lack of net metering legislation, lack of renewable portfolio standard, has a direct dampening effect on what you're trying to accomplish with Energia in the U.S. So could you sort of comment on that aspect? Because I think our African American community needs to understand if there's a local meeting at their local planning commission and they're talking about the issue of bringing renewable portfolio standard legislation to a county or as we would call it, property clean assessment program known as PACE, or the Rural Energy Program known as REAP, which there's millions of dollars, there's tax credits, and there are opportunities there that could help foster that Energia is about by being able to assist some of our African-American farmers and some of our HBCUs in those regulated markets to match up with some of the funding that Energia brings to the table. So could you sort of speak to that, or should I ask one of your members of your firm Tyler to speak to that because he's been listening, and I wanted to bring him into the conversation also. So good morning, Tyler. I guess he's just going
to... He may be on mute.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh. Yes. Go right ahead, Tyler. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having us, Ron. We really appreciate it. I think it's more of a Mike question, but I will comment a bit that, you know, certainly the policy, as Mike's mentioned, the policy that's on the floor, you know, in Washington would help us in kind of, you know, simplifying the way that these U.S. deals in particular are taxed. The tax credits that are associated with them can be very complex. Certainly some kind of standardized policy across states would help, because as it stands right now, you know, the U.S. is really 50 individual countries almost when it comes to solar policy. And I know Mike can elaborate on that a bit. So all those things would help. And certainly, you know, calling, emailing, tweeting your congresspeople is always a good idea, and it always helps. And we need to be diligent in that regard. But I think at the end of the day, what we're trying to do at Energia is say, you know what, if we could get some help from Congress, that's great, but we're not going to wait around for it. We're going to try to, you know, develop a platform where anyone can come on board with $100 or $100,000, invest in renewable energy projects, earn a nice, steady, long-term dividend that helps out any portfolio, also helps with the decarbonization of the grid. And listen, if our politicians aren't going to do it for us, let's do it ourselves. But certainly some of the things that are on the floor right now would certainly help. And I know Mike probably wants to elaborate on that a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing to think about here, Ron, is that the tax credits really monkey wrench a lot of potential projects. Let's say we wanted to put solar on an HBCU in Mississippi. Well, we're facing a couple of challenges as we sit here today. One of them is permission from the utility company to do that. Solar is not allowed in some states in our country. Or if it's allowed, they make it extremely difficult. So those roadblocks need to go away. Number two is that saying that a project at an HBCU could cost somewhere between $2 or $3 or $5 million. So the tax credits become at 30% or 26% as they are today, but we'll use 30% for a round number. That could be a $300,000 to $1 million tax credit. That's an awfully big tax credit. So now requires us to partner with somebody who has $1 million worth of tax appetite in order to finance the project, which is not everybody knows somebody with $1 million worth of tax appetite in any given year. So that shrinks the market down to players who can associate themselves with tax equity investors. And that makes it very difficult for people to start up new companies and to grab a shovel and participate in climate change because of this complexity caused by the tax credits. The infrastructure bill that we think is going to pass here, the first one, doesn't do anything to address that problem. But there's already discussion about a follow-up policy that would be a Democratic-only bill that would include legislation to make that tax credit become a refund. So that way, anybody who can write the check for the $1 million to build the project in the first place can then benefit from that $300,000 in the form of a tax rebate, as opposed to needing to find somebody who can write the check for $300,000 who can monetize the tax credit. So this is a lot of complexity involved there. We've really adulterated the market. You know, when you go to Africa, there's no such thing. It's much simpler, more streamlined process. But the United States likes to make things very complex. We've done that here. You know, we're charging a tremendous tariffs on the importation of solar panels. So installing solar is more expensive in the United States than it is anywhere else in the world. We've made sure that's the case by taxing the solar panels when they hit port. And then because it's so expensive to build solar in the United States, we need these tax credits. So we're passing these solar panels as they come to port, so that requires us to give a tax credit to the projects, which limits participation. It's really kind of a screwed up market over here. And one of the things that Energy is trying to do is, you know, we've been doing this for the last 15 years of raising tax equity. We've done multiple funds with sophisticated investors who understand or are in that market. And if we can kind of handle that piece of the puzzle and simplify this so that investors just need to make a cash investment and the end users just need to enjoy discounted electricity and let us handle the complex wrinkles of handling tax equity, that's going to be able to assist a lot of projects in coming forward. So it's a combination at the federal level tax regimes, as well as at the state level, making sure those utility companies don't block us from performing solar projects. And they block us in a number of different ways. They may not allow net metering, for example, as is the case in Mississippi. They may not allow us to sell power in their jurisdiction. You can't use power purchase agreements, as is the case in many states, especially in the southern United States. So where you have regulated markets and the utility company rules the roost, it is particularly challenging for us to do our work and get more solar going and to amplify this inclusivity that we're seeking.
Well, you know, I find it quite interesting that utility companies have the power that they have because the government originally didn't want to be involved in that. So they sort of gave utility companies legal monopolies somewhere around the early 1800s as we began to start developing what we call a grid system. And you have groups, powerful groups like the Rural Co-ops of America, that very few of our folks in the African-American community realize. When you get your gas, let's say electric bills, gas, water, and electric bills, you can, depending on the jurisdiction you're in, some jurisdictions are putting these pass-throughs on these bills also. But one of the things that you will find on your electric bill, you will see your transmission fees, what they charge you for that energy to come through the lines. So when it's all said and done, it's really been put back on our backs as consumers to pay for the benefit of the utilities having a legal monopoly in these regulated markets. Now, I don't know how you move the earth at one time, but I do realize that we are in a crisis situation as it relates to climate change. And as Ms. Davis has elegantly said, our communities, we have always been looked and reduced to the point of being just consumers. So I don't want to sort of shift gears, and I'm going to take a slight pause for the cause. We're going to ship sort of and come back, and I want to sort of talk about the retirement of renewable self-directed IRAs and what y'all are doing at Energia and how that impacts. And we're going to hear a little more from Mrs. Davis after we take a slight pause for the cause here on Solar Now and the Future with this economic energy.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. I'm singing, I got trouble. Singing.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you're going to be in our green room, and we want to bring you right into the living room for this exciting discussion that we're having with Mike and Tyler and Mrs. Felicia Davis from Energy and HBCU Green Fund. Now, Mike, y'all doing some exciting things in terms of trying to direct people how who have IRAs to invest in this program. Could you sort of elaborate on that campaign and what you're doing there? And Felicia, I know you're involved in a number of organizations where y'all are working to try to get HBCUs to look at their endowments and how they can invest in renewables. So you maybe can chime in after Mike shares what he has to share on what you're doing with HBCU Green Fund in that capacity. Go right ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you know who would be even better to answer this question would be Tyler. And, Ron, I have to apologize. I have to head off to an appointment. But you're in good hands with Tyler and Felicia. And thank you very much for having me on the show today. Really appreciate it.
All right, not a problem, Mike. Go right ahead,
Ron, before Tyler tackles that question, there's one thing that I want to be sure that I get in before I get off. We all know that large corporations have been racing one another to make net zero commitments with concrete time frames, 2025, 2030, what have you. And those, particularly those that are larger consumers of energy, will necessarily have to use renewable credits to reach net zero. So as Tyler discusses the IRA opportunity or thoughts, certainly there is a significant role that the corporate community can play in advancing solar, particularly in the Black and other vulnerable communities, specifically with HBCUs, which you don't have the challenge with homeowners and some businesses. They may move, but most of our institutions have been where they are for 100 years or more. And so there's that kind of security. But there is a way for the corporate community to help make projects happen, particularly in those states that are more challenging. And I would really appreciate Tyler speaking to that, so that as this message goes out, folks that are working within that arena and even in the philanthropic community, there's a way that short of government action, which may take a little longer, there are ways to act immediately, and that which will really help us to ensure that any and every project of the willing is able to take place in a manner that is has that win-win-win, beneficial for the investor, beneficial for the institution, and all around benefiting the environment. So, Tyler, if you could either work that in or certainly address that, I think that would be helpful to have that word out.
Yeah, Felicia, so are you speaking specifically to, like, the renewable energy credits or investing,
yes,
you know, at the corporate level? Yeah. So, you know, that's a really, really interesting topic that is out there right now as the government starts to potentially legislate, you know, the greenness, if you will, of a business and the race to zero and those kinds of things. There's a lot of things at play there. It's a very complex market, right? So the first is, you know, how do you verify these renewable energy credits? So Mike and I often talk about this, and it's like we feel as though renewable energy credits could end up, you know, playing a significant part in saving the world, or they could end up playing a significant part in destroying it, depending upon how we verify these credits, regulate the market, because if corporations look to use, you know, renewable energy credits as a loophole as opposed to an actual green renewable energy credit, you know, if they use it as more of a loophole to get out of paying taxes or a loophole just to comply to some rule or regulation, it could end up being a big detriment. We hope it goes in a different direction, and that there are some regulatory bodies that can come in and certify these credits. Almost all of the credits, or almost all the projects on the Energia platform still have their greenness to the credits. You know, we haven't sold any of those except in the example of the U.S. We almost always will package up those credits as part of a deal. So the U.S. is an exception, but for Africa and Brazil, those portfolios, you know, when you invest, you're technically, you know, you still have that greenness to those credits. And we certainly think that large corporations and businesses and individuals alike, you know, need to do their part to kind of accelerate, you know, those credits and try to, you know, do whatever they can to become zero. We do have the ability on our platform for businesses to invest with us. So if you are a, you know, if you're a business, if you have an EIN, if you are, you know, a trust or, you know, an endowment, foundation, you can invest in the platform in the name of that or in the social security number of that entity. So you don't, it's not just for individuals. So I think that's important to point out. But yeah, I mean, I certainly think that's a huge thing that we need to really be diligent in monitoring.
How could the purchase of credit, say, for, say, a small black college wants to do a solar project, and the balancing out comes up just a little short, so there's a gap, which tends to happen in southern states where you do not have incentives. How could commitments to purchase the credits, which we certainly would verify because we certainly will have them, how could that make a project go forward?
Yeah, I mean, so I think, you know, and this might be a bit more, you know, in terms of Mike and Chris, our, you know, our two co-founders, they're the ones that originate most of these deals and kind of, you know, deal with that part of it. But certainly, you know, knowing enough about the U.S. market, the SRECs or ZRECs, I mean, sometimes they're called different things in different parts, different states, but the renewable energy credits, which is essentially what they are, you know, no matter what state it is, are always generally a component of the deal. You know, usually like the revenue contracts that we sign, there's a power purchase agreement with an entity such as an HBCU or a, you know, a school or a, you know, local business to purchase the power. And then generally speaking, a lot of times, particularly in the Northeast where we have our couple first projects in that U.S. portfolio, Eversource, the local energy company, will buy the renewable energy credits back from us, and that will, you know, over a 15 or 20 year period, and that will generate revenue as well. So you have the revenue coming in from the purchase of the electricity, and you also have the revenue coming in for the purchase of the renewable energy credit. So hopefully that helps a bit in terms of how it can help to, you know, take a project from, you know, maybe a 4 or 5% return to the investor up into the 6, 7, 8% range. It's by packaging both the sale of the power and also the sale of the credits as part of the deal, and structure it that way, you know, specifically. So, yeah, again, that certainly, it's a huge part in the U.S. market. It's a huge part to making these deals, you know, profitable
making
to
those,
a point where people are going to want to invest.
Making those deals with return on investment. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, I have thoroughly enjoyed both of you. Y'all have given me more than time than I asked for. I asked for 30 minutes, and you kind, very kind with your time. And we are now at 11:55 a.m., so we only have about 5 more minutes in the show, and I'm going to have to hit on a few other points. But is there anything you'd like to say, Felicia, in closing, as well as you, Tyler? Because, and you both will not be a stranger to this platform, so and that's yours. But I want to make sure that you close out and give out your web addresses and contact information for our listening audience. Go right ahead.
So thank you so much for having us. You can find HBCU Green Fund at hbcugreenfund.org. I am Felicia Davis, and you can certainly get to me through the website. And I want to thank your audience for always tuning in and for a particular and unique perspective on Black America and the future.
Right.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Felicia. Yeah, thank you, Felicia. We're so excited to work with Felicia and the HBCU Green Fund. Such a great organization. So much potential there. Our website, where you can kind of visit, create an account, make an investment, is Energia, www.energia, ENERGEA.com. And again, like I said, you can log in, create an account, do your due diligence, you know, there's investment calculators in there where you can enter an investment amount and it'll kind of kick out what your returns might look like or would look like. So I would encourage everybody to check out the website as a first starting point. My contact information is just my first name, so Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, at energia.com. And be sure to be glad to answer any questions you might have. And I guess the last thing I would just say in a minute here, Ron, is to answer your question as quickly as I can about the IRA market. We do allow for IRA and Roth IRA investments on the platform through Energia. It just has to be done through a special form of IRA called a self-directed IRA. So a lot of the IRAs out in the world right now, you know, with Fidelity, Vanguard, Charles Schwab, those IRAs have limitations on, you know, what you can invest in. And to be simple, you know, usually it needs to have a ticker symbol. It needs to be a stock, a mutual fund, an ETF. It needs to be, you know, really a kind of readily available investment. And because our company is a, you know, private company, you know, a lot of times you're not able to, many times, almost all the time, you're not able to invest there. But there are several self-directed IRA custodians out there. I know, Ron, you posted about Entrust, company we've partnered with, at least initially, to offer those services where you can kind of roll or transfer money from your more traditional IRA or Roth IRA into these self-directed IRA and then make an investment on the platform. So I just want your listeners to know that is possible. You know, most people have more wealth stowed away in retirement accounts than they do in their checking or savings account these days.
Quite frankly,
these assets, renewable energy assets, they're long-term, steady, contracted dividends. So they actually work really well inside of a retirement plan, which is a longer-term investment vehicle by nature. So if anybody has any questions about that or how to set those up, again, energia.com or Tyler at Energia.
Okay, well, I want to thank both of you. We're out of time here on the platform, but I think that we've been able to share information over the World Wide Web today that they can't get any place but here on the platform with this economic impact. And thank both of you for joining us here today on Solar Now and the Future with this economic impact on Black America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. We would like to thank those who are listening, those who will come on to our website or go on to our social media platforms and listen to this information. It's very, very valuable information. So what we all want to say in closing for next week, we don't want you to meet us here. We want you to beat us here as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Till next week, we say...
Someone singing, I can tell, sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it.
Singing.